You all know that a worship service is not a one-man experience, right? In leadership, it may look a little bit more like that right now, but it's not going to stay that way. Our church is praying and seeking to know the Lord's will as we look for the next person who will give primary leadership to our worship and singing experience as we gather here together. But that's even when I'm providing that leadership and then coming up to preach. That's still not a one-man experience because somebody's got to look out for me. And our brother, I just want to say thank you, Mark. This is the second Sunday in 3 weeks. 2 weeks? Oh, the second Sunday in 2 weeks that I've stopped at the booth and gotten my microphone on and walked up here and started to lead and left my Bible in the booth. Yeah, it's not a one-man thing. I love the support of our team and these who come and sing and are part of that and help us in our practice to be prepared and all of those things. I love that. I love you all. And I'm so thankful for the privilege that it is to serve in a place like this. And I'm grateful for your ongoing support in so many other ways as well. I know that many of you pray for me every day. And I had word from someone just yesterday who told me that recently he's begun to pray for me even more. And I'm grateful for that. You might follow his lead. Pray for me more and more. Not because I'm particularly special or unique or need it more than anyone else. But in these days, the life of being a pastor is a blessing, and it's rich. But it's always challenging, and it's always full, and it's always filled with the rich blessings of life together. I pray that you will know that I also pray for you and have opportunity to do that along the way. If you have a special need, though, you make sure you tell me. Don't just assume that I know, all right? Well, you know, today in our city and in our world, this weekend marks some pretty significant things. In our city, it's a significant event every year, right? As we come to the first Sunday in May. You know what they call it? Bloomsbury. Oh, Bloomsday. Let me say that the reason I made sure that I said Mike's name correctly, Amesbury, was because when I typed into my phone, the autocorrect said Bloomsbury. What? So, no, it's Bloomsday. It's Bloomsday right here in Spokane. There are people out walking and running and doing all kinds of things and sharing and giving and doing all kinds of exciting things right here today in Spokane. A number of you who are here in this room have participated in Bloomsday in years past. There are some others of our folks who have done what do they call it? A virtual Bloomsday, where they're not going to show up on that particular Sunday because they go to church or because they have other commitments or other activities, or maybe they just don't think they can get out and be among that many people. But they've done a virtual Bloomsday, and they've already done their work. They've already run their race and finished their course, and so this is a significant day, right? We have some of our folks who are right there right now, actually. But this weekend also marks something else that's very, very significant in our world. I will admit that I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but I've been aware. Yesterday, in Great Britain, a new king was crowned. We've known about him for 100 years, I think, it seems. At least all of my life. We've known about him, and we've anticipated this day would come. Nobody thought it would be this long before Queen Elizabeth would come to her final days. But King Charles has now been crowned. He has received the crown. He has ascended to the throne, and he has a significant and meaningful role now in the country of Great Britain and in the United Kingdom. Well, that's not my kingdom. And never has been, never will be. I'm grateful for the governments of our world. Whether I appreciate everything they do or not, I'm grateful for them and thankful that we have governments that help us to live in a peaceable way along the way. But today, I feel that this is somewhat, both of these events are significant for where we are in the book of James and what's happening, because I began last week to preach in the book of James, not even thinking about how this would play out today. But in James chapter 1, verse 12, we're going to have one verse as our primary verse today. It's going to help us launch into what we do in these moments. But it's a verse that points to a race and a crown, right? It points to a good finish and a crown. And so I think that's pretty significant as we come to the Word of God today. And so let me read to you from James chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, "Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Blessed is he who endures the trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And I also want to give particular attention to Revelation chapter 2, and I want to read verses 8 through 10 there, for again, we find a similar expression and a place where it describes and references the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, beginning of verse 8, we come to the letter that is written as Jesus dictates to John the Apostle these letters to the churches, these early churches. And he said to the church at Smyrna, "Write to the angel of the church in Smyrna, thus says the first and the last, the one who was dead and came to life. I know your affliction and poverty, but you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. Look, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison to test you, and you will experience affliction for 10 days. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word today, we're grateful for events in our world that mark significant times and changes. We're grateful for the opportunity to look up to and admire those who have significant and specific roles in our world. We're grateful for the opportunity to know that there are good things that come from hard work and endurance and struggle, and that in the end of it all, there is a wonderful hope. Father, spiritually today, we recognize that there are some things that we are enduring, we will endure, and we must endure. And Lord, we come to you today and we pray that when we face the hardest things of our spiritual lives, that we will be found having passed the test, finished the course, endured the suffering. For sometimes it can be extremely great. And often we have no idea why, except we've been told these times will come. Lord, help us in our example, in our testimony, and in our faith to remain true and faithful to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these words that encourage us today, that challenge us, that pick us up when we're in the midst of the muck, and help us to press on. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your abundant love and life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as we look at this, there's a crown, right? There's suffering and there's a crown. And the crown is associated with the suffering. Once again, blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, we could look at this from a few different angles. We could start at the end and say, those who love him. Who are those who love him? Well, I think if I were to ask the question, are you among those who love him? You would all want to raise your hands and say, yes, I am. I love the Lord. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want him to know that I love him. We could start at the end of the verse like that. And I think it's important that we recognize and we evaluate how we are expressing our love to God along the way. But more importantly, I think we want to look at this and see that James is speaking to those who have endured trials and who will have to stand some very difficult tests. They will have to endure through some very challenging things. Pardon me. And yet, there is something that as they endure the testing, as they stand the test of the trial, that they are looking forward to. There is a reward, an eternal reward, a promised reward, but this is something that has already been promised to those who love him. And so as you move through the various trials that you have, you remember last week we spent our time in the earlier part of this chapter where it says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Those who compete in any sport know that endurance is important. They know that there is some kind of endurance that is necessary. You might look and say, you know, checkers seems like a sport, and does that require endurance? Well, there's probably some mental endurance that you have to keep up with there, right? You got to stay focused. But let's recognize that we're really talking about those sports that require a great deal of physical challenge. Among us in this room, there are runners, and there are bike riders, and there are others of you, there are walkers who spend a lot of time just getting out there to keep their bodies going. And those who do that, those who run, those who ride their bikes, know that they have to push through some very difficult moments in their time of both training and their time of competition in order to even finish. They have to push through those very difficult moments. And there are physical trials that they have to endure in order to get to the finish. And I'm one of those who, because I wasn't among those who would ever be champions in physical sports, because I'm one of those, I have decided that just finishing the race or finishing the course is enough, right? And I want us to recognize as children of God today, that not all of us are going to be thought of as Paul was and is thought of, or as Peter, or as many of the other apostles who have faced even death as a result of their faith and their walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I recognize that all of us, as we have put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, though, have a race to run. We have a course to finish. We have those things that are so important that we do. And we will, in our path and in our way, as we follow the living God, we will face some things that are very challenging to us. There will be people in our lives who will challenge us and who will test our faith and seek to cause us to be troubled in that. There will be some that might even threaten us along the way as we express our faith. I think along the way we have to just remember that reality, that when we are tested, when we are threatened, when we are challenged regarding the things that we say that we believe, my friends, today we will be tested. We need to endure. There are children today who express their faith at school, and sometimes even they may not be all that wise, but they are tested in their faith at school, and they are at risk of harm from some. They are at risk, not from the administration, of course, but they are at risk of being told, you know, you just really can't talk about those things. They're at risk of various other things that might come to them, and you know, if nothing else, they're at risk of losing a friend or not being approved or appreciated by someone who is near them. And they're at risk of those who are really seeking to pour God's word into their lives and live by God's word. They're at risk of being challenged by those who are older and who will test them with questions that they don't know what to do with. You see, in our time of faith and in our lives of faith, we're always going to be challenged with those things. And even you, those of us who may be more seasoned in life, will face questions that people will bring that we are not always ready with an answer. We're not always sure what to say. And for some of us, it's enough to be able to just simply say, you know, I know that Jesus is my Savior, and that's enough for me. I don't know the answers to all of your questions, but I know the one who can give you hope and peace and joy. And sometimes that may be the best that we can do, but we will be facing those difficult challenges and those difficult trials along the way, and we need somehow to come to this place where we understand these words that say, blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, very quickly, we're going to talk about the crown of life. And of course, everybody would look at me and say, how do you talk about the crown of life very quickly? What I want us first to know is that the crown of life is not your salvation. The crown of life is not your salvation. I think what we need to understand is he says this, that those who endure the particular testing, and we go into Revelation, we've read that portion as he spoke to the church at Smyrna, and the very specific and challenging testing that Smyrna was going to endure and was going to experience. We see that in those experiences, the crown of life was something that was offered to those who endured specifically great challenges and testing, and the crown of life was a reward for their faithfulness. And my friends, today, we might, each of us, even to some extent, say, well, you know, I don't know if I'll ever receive the crown of life. I'm so glad that I have eternal life. I'm so glad that I've received the gift of forgiveness of sin, and I have the promise of everlasting life, and I know that there's a Savior who even right now is preparing an eternal place for me. But we might be thinking, I don't know, you know, this, I don't know if I could stand the test of the threat of death. I don't know that I could stand the test of the threat of physical harm. I don't know if I could stand that test in my life because of the name of Jesus. Well, what I know is that we can be thankful that the vast majority of us don't face that threat. We do not face that. But we have the promise and assurance that as we endure through every testing and every struggle, and as we allow our faith to produce greater endurance in our lives, and we become mature in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will stand the test. And there is a promise from God to those who love him that they will receive the crown of life. It's a reward for perhaps special acts of service and perseverance under trial. It's an assurance that as we face trials and temptations, he will not abandon us, but he will be there to love us, to comfort us, to protect us, and to restore us. He gives us the strength that we need to stand in the middle of temptation and trial. You see, this is the crown of life, the strength that we need. As we see it again in Revelation 2:10, we want to understand that the crown of life is a special honor. Yes, it's a recognition given by Jesus to those who stand up against the temptation and the trials of the devil. In a way, it's something that Jesus recognizes and honors those people who faithfully serve him and remain steadfast in the storms of life. Unshaken, steadfast in the storms of life. You see, I think that's what we're referring to here. When I grew up, we were singing an old song called "Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown?" And I think as you read through the book of Revelation, you see some references there. That was a pretty confusing, not so much confusing, but it just left a lot of questions in the mind of a small boy as he was growing up in the church. But the point of it all is that there is reward that is based somewhat upon our faithfulness and upon the things that we do. When we read in Ephesians chapter 2, we find so clearly that it is stated that we are saved by grace through faith, and that it is a gift of God, and it is not of works, in order that none of us should boast. But the very next verse says, "But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he's prepared in advance for us to do." You see, so how do we balance that? Okay, we are saved by grace. We are saved because we have put our faith and our trust. We have said, "I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Savior. I trust, I trust your word where you have said, that we believe and put our trust in the truth of the resurrection." We believe these things. We trust in these things. And that is where our salvation comes from. It is the gift of God. It is not of any works that we would do. But friends, as we walk in these bodies of flesh, not sure where this is coming from. Okay, I'm done. As we walk in these bodies of flesh, in recent times we've talked about the importance of repentance and living a life of repentance. Repentance is this thing that happens. Why? What do we repent from? We repent from our sin. We repent from doing those things. But we choose then to do good works because of our repentance. We've left behind our sinful life and we've begun walking forward through life to do those good things that God has prepared for us. You see, there are certain things that we've left behind. And there was a Christian comedian a few years back that made a big deal. He says, "You know, there's so many things." He says, I don't understand why people are always so talking about all the things that you don't do. Because there's so many do's in the Bible, we need to just get busy doing. And now, granted, we need to know what the don't do's are, because that's kind of that helps us understand the concept of sin and the context of sin. And we definitely need to leave that stuff behind, and it's so important. But then we need to be doing those things that he set before us to do. And there are plenty of those things. There's, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, you can spend a whole life doing that. You don't even have to think very hard. You just have to get out there and start doing it. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. Friends, today we want to remember that there is a promise in eternity, a reward that is coming. And I honestly don't care that someone else's reward is going to be greater than mine, because I know that just the privilege of eternity with Jesus is enough. But I know that also, as I'm obedient, there is a storehouse of reward that is being prepared. And I don't know what that looks like, and I don't even know necessarily why it needs to be, except that God is a just God, and God is a faithful God, and God is a giving God, and God wants to reward those who demonstrate and reflect their love for Him to the rest of those in this world. You see, the crown of life is just that. It's God's reward for the faithfulness of His children. Jesus is able to recognize and honor those people who faithfully serve Him and remain steadfast in the storms of life. This is kind of hard in the economy of grace. Salvation is by grace. There's no way that we can earn eternal life, that we can earn our salvation. But faithfulness and endurance has a strong impact on the rewards of heaven. I don't know how you will be tested. I don't know in what ways that will come or what that will look like in your life. I know that for some it will have very much to do with remaining true and remaining faithful in your belief and in your conviction and in speaking about it in your workplace, in some cases in your home, in some cases in a classroom where you have opportunity to speak and teach about the truths of Jesus. You mean we have to worry about that at church too? Well, we're going to contend for the gospel. We're going to contend for the truth of the Word of God along the way. And we want to be a people who are faithful and who remember that we are looking forward to a reward in heaven. We spend an awful lot of time talking about salvation. In fact, there's a note that was placed on my door this morning. I have no idea who put it there, but it said, "Pray that all preachers everywhere will be preaching the truth of salvation." We spend a lot of time preaching about salvation, and we seek to speak the truth of salvation and how a person can have forgiveness of sin and have the promise of eternal life. That is salvation. And that comes in the form of our faith. Let us remember that when we have been saved and have entered into that relationship with the living God, there are many things that we want to do and many ways in which we want to be faithful. And in doing those things, we are accumulating, if you want to say it that way, a reward that God has promised for those who love Him. But we must endure. Let's pray. Lord, today as we've spent these moments together, sometimes it gets uncomfortable talking about rewards and all of those things. And yet that's the problem of so many when it comes to even understanding how to be saved. We think that we've got to do all of these things just to get in the door. We think that we need to accomplish all of these things and do wonderful things for You, Lord, just to be found acceptable. When, Lord, there was no way that we could in and of ourselves done anything to be acceptable. But Lord, once we have been found in faith, and once we have been received by You, and once we have received Your gift of eternal life, Lord, You have called us to a life of doing, a life of faithfulness, a life of faith and living with endurance and finishing the race and the course. Lord, help us in the doing. Help us in the finishing, that we might indeed receive that crown of life. Thank you for what you've done. We worship and we praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of reflection and response today is, "Great is thy faithfulness." And perhaps we just need to close this service with this wonderful expression of worship to the Lord, knowing that he is faithful. But perhaps there's someone here who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Perhaps there's someone here who needs to take that step of faith even today, even now, and say, "I place my faith in Jesus. I believe that he died for me, and that as he died for me, I have the promise of eternal life if I will only believe." If that's true in your life, you've never received him, I would invite you today, put your trust and your faith in Jesus. I'd be happy to spend a moment or two with you, and we can talk about it some more, and we can pursue how that happens in your life, and I can pray with you. Or perhaps you might have come with someone who can help you take those steps as well. But as we conclude this time together, trust in the Lord your God and receive him by faith and believe with a whole heart. Let's stand together as we sing.